Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Matchball 30, sponsored by Calidus, leading consultants in health and safety, project management, asset management, environmental services and training. Visit wearecalidus.com for more information.
The Matchball.
Welcome to the Matchball 30. Dan Michael and Moscow with you, taking you through the 1991-1992 season, game by game, in real time, 30 years on. And what an absolute whopper today at Elland Road. Christmas in the rearview mirror now. And it's all about the football going into 1992, isn't it? And our clash with these bastards.
When you said about it's a whopper, I thought you were talking about Mark Hughes, who still is.
Yeah, well, look at, I mean, crowd today, 32,500. 32,638 inside Elland Road for game of the season. Was it game of the season? There was a lot of hype in the run-up to this.
Did you get in, Moscow, or were you arrested outside? You said you were going to be throwing bricks. Did you manage to hit anyone?
They'll never catch me.
The YP, they ran a massive pullout for these games. It went out just before
about a month
Christmas.
Ago.
Yeah. We still had two games in between times, didn't we? The War of the Roses, interviews, previews, history, things like that.
Hype, 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 hype.
It did feel a bit premature, the old War of the Roses thing, doing the big title build-up at a point when we still had games to draw and therefore not be as involved in the title race, but never mind.
Did you actually make it on time? Because the kickoff time changed so many times in the run-up to this that I didn't even know when I was supposed to turn up.
I was checking on teletext. So I've got one of the fairly modern telly, so I can get that, which is pretty good.
Well,
so
it kicked off at 4 because ITV wanted to show it.
I'm sure it was like 4:05 and at 3:30 and at loads of different times, wasn't it, over the course of them changing this in the first place. But yeah, I was there, I was at the game, so didn't bother me what time it was on telly. Got to there and experienced the joyful atmosphere.
It was a good atmosphere. It was noisy. I wouldn't say it was the best quality of football match you'll ever see, but it was intense.
Yeah, I think that's the thing from it. It was intense and it was tense and it was kind of awful.
Well, Wilco had spoken in the build-up to this, hadn't he, about needing to get Boxing Day out of our systems, and it did feel like, because we'd sort of fallen behind by a couple of points with the games in hand, like, was it a must-win was the question we asked, didn't we, around the Southampton game. And it sort of felt like it. There was tension and excitement all built in with some Christmas, I was going to say Christmas cheer, but more like Christmas beer was fueling this one. Well, the lineups anyway, Elland Road. John Lukic, Mel Stirling, Tony DiRigo, David Batty, Fairclough back in at centre-half alongside Chris White, Strachan back in midfield, Wallace, Chapman, McAllister, Speed. What you would argue is our strongest 11 with Steve Hodge and John McClelland on the bench for this one. Two-Face, Peter Schmeichel, Paul Parker, Steve Bruce, Gary Pallister, Clayton Blackmore, Andre Kanchelskis, Neil Webb, Paul Ince, Ryan Giggs, Brian McClair, and Mark Hughes, with Mal Donaghy and Lee Sharp on the bench.
Pricks. Every last one of them.
Even the ones that are out. Apart, well, are we calling Dennis Irwin a prick? I know he did play for us, but he was out with a hamstring injury, wasn't he?
Turncoat, isn't he?
And Brian Robson also out for them. So I guess on paper it gave us a bit more of a chance, but I think it went from must win to kind of glad to draw by the end of it.
It was a little unfair in the end because I think we were a lot better than they were, certainly in terms of time spent bothering the goalkeepers. They had some good chances, but we were much more the threatening team, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to come out of this happier with the point, aren't they? Because it just maintains the gap and they've still got those two games to play. So
yeah, they look defensive. I mean, that front two, everybody bangs on about Mark Hughes, but he's whinging poodle, isn't he? And Brian McClair's useless. It was the point that really summed them up as a team and a club and a historical entity was when Mark Hughes was lying on the halfway line crying because Chris White had just passed by him. And then Brian McClair then I think he got tackled by Batty. And then he just lay face down on the grass, crying for ages. They've got their two main strikers just lying face down when they're not injured at all. They're just a horrible club. But that their forwards are better at lying down and pretending to be hurt than they are actually scoring goals, whereas our strikers who didn't score in this game are much better. Lee Chapman, you know, dragged his face across a running track at Tottenham and walked away.
Mark
Admittedly,
Hughes,
he was mortally wounded. Not mortally, but seriously wounded, but, you know.
Mark Hughes was also first in the referee's face when Dorigo puts in what was, to my mind, a fair challenge on Giggs.
It's a great challenge.
Which kind of nudged the ball back to Lukic, didn't it? As Giggs would have been running through on goal, and Hughes was in the referee's face straight after that as well.
You know, everybody, there's a lot of hype about Giggs, but there was a lot of hype about Lee Sharp before him, and he didn't look that good. There was that one, he did some good skill to get away from David Batty at one point, but then I think it's Gary McAllister just chases after him and just takes the ball off his toe and gives it to Batty anyway. And it's like, well, if that's the best your wonder kid can do.
It was an interesting matchup seeing him against Strachan, wasn't it, on the over on their left wing?
There's some really interesting battles all over the pitch, actually, and that being one of them. Look at the age difference there.
Yeah, it's and on the other wing, the communist as well, Andrei Kanchelskis, another one's managed to squeeze into the first division.
And he had a shot, didn't he, that sort of bounced in front of Lukic, but that was probably their best chance, really, wasn't it? And there was the one where Giggs was running through, but Dorigo, let's say he cleanly took him out, because he did get his toe on the ball first, as you said, but then managed to quite take his legs in quite a satisfying way as well. I appreciated all of that.
Did you fear the worst when they went one in front just after half time?
Fucking Neil Webb.
He's never hit a shot as well as this.
Awful goal. And this goal should have been ruled out as well, because to describe what happened, it's a scum corner straight after half time that just kind of, it's an outswinger. And there's a challenge on the edge of the box. But
it's the southeast corner it comes from, isn't it? The yellow seats.
Yeah, nobody really gets a touch on it. And it just bounces to Webb. And I know he said it was a good hit, but it bounces in a horrible way. It's just like a shit volley. And the only reason Lukic doesn't save
complete
it.
Complete lack of credit.
The only reason Lukic doesn't save it is because Mark Hughes is standing offside blocking his view. So it should have been ruled out.
I thought it was Giggs that was offside.
Well, it was. I mean, they're all the fucking
same.
Some
curly-haired dickhead.
Yeah, exactly. So...
And Chris White was fouled, I reckon.
Yeah, as it came in, Chris White's trying to win the initial header, isn't he? And I mean, because the other thing, the corner's not put towards Webb, is it? I don't think.
No,
I don't think
it's
he's
not
aiming
deliberate.
For Webb.
No.
It's some,
why would
White
he give the ball
fouled
to Neil Webb? He's fucking shit.
Well, exactly.
It's a hopeful punt at best.
Yeah.
And he probably tried to cross it. Are we going to say that? I think Webb's trying to put it back into the box, probably.
Swung his foot.
Got lucky.
Yeah.
Oh, dear me. Well, just returning to that battle that you were talking about there of the old fella trying to chase down the young Welsh punk. Strachan, you see him when he pulled up, when he was trying to chase down, you think, oh God.
A collective drawing of breath with that, because he's just running after him. It doesn't look like much has happened, but it's almost like a nerve in his back has sent like a...
Suddenly jammed in position.
He just sent like a lightning bolt up his spine and he's just got, I can't move anymore. But he did seem to recover, thankfully.
Yeah, he started hopping around on one leg as if he's... body was broken.
The sciatic nerve does go down your leg, doesn't it?
Yeah. But then 2 minutes later, he's running through the middle in an attack, trying to get the ball, a pass from Gary McAllister, looking as young as he's ever looked. So what a strange body Gordon Strachan has.
And Webb tries to repeat his fluke not long after that, doesn't he? Hughes.
This is more like it from Webb.
Well, this is what you expect, isn't it? Hughes crosses it to him and he connects on the half volley again, and this time, nah.
Probably, you don't quite see where it ends up from the TV footage, but I'm going to say it's probably somewhere near the chippy.
Beeston Hill. Yeah, somewhere at Beeston Hill. A little bit of a let off, though. And Kanchelskis, troublesome. He's quick.
Very jinky, isn't he?
Yeah. But I trust Tony Dorigo at left back because he's brilliant. But a couple of late blocks on these from Kanchelskis.
He may be. I mean, Kanchelskis did have these chances and did look quite dangerous. It's probably an argument for Mickey Whitlow having been useful in this game. Checking the Y report, Dorigo did get 6 out of 10, faced a tricky opponent. And I think if you'd had Whitlow there, it would have been 9 out of 10, destroyed tricky opponent. So never mind.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To our eternal credit, the game does swing back the other way because we start having some chances. And our own tricky jinky winger with his knackered back and sciatic nerve that's probably trapped manages to get a good cross in from deep. And Chapman with a flick on. Wallace at the far post.
Just doesn't come down to him in time. When he wins the header, you think he's just going to tap it in, but it just seems to take forever to actually reach him. And by the time he's there, there's a defender there to block. And it's kind of our first sniff we've had at this point as well. We've played fairly well, but we've not really managed to create anything.
We dominated, really, didn't we? Because Scum were never in our box in the first half, but we were always in their half. I think that's the thing, but we couldn't really make any chances. But then just it goes to show what happens when we do make a chance and score a goal. The fucking corrupt football league rules it out for absolutely no reason. Whatsoever. We've scored a goal. Well, you can't have a goal. You can have a free kick. That's not good enough.
Bob Nixon, the referee, from a family of liars.
Richard Nixon's fucking more corrupt brother.
So this is 65 minutes in. The goal is disallowed. Yeah, Bats crosses from the edge of the box, and he's caught very late, isn't he? There's no two ways about that.
It's an absolute scandalous assault that should have been a red card, but we didn't want a free kick for it because
we couldn't play the advantage where Chris White flicks it on, and then it's Chapman who pops in at the far post. But of course, Nixon, Ellen Roadgate pulls it back, doesn't he? The twat
already blown, apparently. Although I didn't hear a whistle, and also
Mark Hughes probably told him he'd already blown.
We're talking like about 2 seconds it takes for that ball to go into the net. And any sensible referee with respect for the rules of the game who didn't have, you know, a car boot full of Manchester cash would have said, oh, that's a bad tackle on Batty, but the ball's going into the 6-yard box and they've got really good strikers. So I better wait and see what happens before I give them a fucking useless free kick on the edge of the penalty area.
Although it was a miracle what happened with 10 minutes to go because we got a penalty, didn't we? Was it a penalty?
He had no choice but to give this.
You think?
Yeah, it's
shotgun to his head.
Yeah, it's very clumsy, is this, isn't it? From Pallister, who's still named man of the match by ITV.
Another absolute scandal.
Even after this bit of oafish defending. Yeah, Gary McAllister kind of is in the right-hand side of the box, knocks it past him, and Pallister just blunders straight into him with the ball nowhere near.
And it's not Strachan who takes this penalty. Maybe he's just feeling that little tweak, or did he just feel the pressure? What was it that made him hand the ball to Mel Sterland?
I think it would have been his back, wouldn't it? I mean, it's a bit of a, if you're not feeling right, then taking that kind of pressure penalty, give it to Mel, who I think also panicked. I'm not sure he necessarily wanted this one.
You'd expect him just to put his foot through it in traditional Sterland style, but he doesn't, does he? He varies it up.
It's a good penalty, though.
It's a very good penalty.
Well, yeah. It feels high stakes, though, with 10 minutes to go. Christ, the tension in the ground.
Schmeichel goes right, he goes left, and it's pretty much into the side net, and it's a very nice passed penalty.
I mean, they reckon that goal is good, because they have got they've conceded the fewest goals in the league so far, but I can only assume that it's Pallister, the man of the match, who gives away penalties, so he's rubbish as well.
The referee just disallowing him, that's what's happened.
Yeah, I guess so, because he doesn't have a prayer of saving this from Sterland. It's a really good penalty, and you can see there's a certain amount of it's not one of Mel's cocky celebrations. He's not running off into the corner flag and doing laps of it and waving at everybody and pointing. He's just like, thank fuck I scored that.
Well, it is a big improvement on Southampton, but you can't escape the fact that after four wins on the bounce heading into Christmas, we've now got four draws on the spin with that one. Spurs, Forest, Southampton, Man United completing the set there.
We have stopped them winning, at least, because they've won five in a row prior to this. So maybe we might kill their momentum a bit.
It does show that we're closer to, I think this is closer to how we actually are than whatever went on against, well, it was only really the last 15 minutes against Southampton that spoiled things. And Wilkinson definitely observed the closeness between the two teams. Said it was vital that we didn't lose because we deserved at least a draw out of the game. But I didn't see anything that leads me to think that the upcoming cup ties with these are going to finish 5-0 or 7-4. The teams are very evenly matched. We've gone 20-odd games with just one defeat. We're second in the league and we've just drawn against the best team in the country, according to all the experts. And possibly we should have won it.
Plenty of needle on the pitch then with twats like Hughes. We heard about him earlier on. Bit of needle outside the ground.
Still going on. I mean, we're recording this straight after the game.
It's, yeah, you can hear it.
You can hear it. It's all there. I mean,
that's why I've got my little stack of half bricks next to the...
we're going to get straight back out here. There.
You shouldn't have left them out there, Moscow, because people. I think people are picking them up. And
there'll
using
be plenty
them.
To go around.
So yes, we'll see if anything happens with that, shall we say, and move on swiftly. But looking down the fixtures from this late December period, Villa beating Southampton 2-1, the Merseyside derby 1-1, Everton Liverpool, Luton beating Chelsea 2-0.
Chelsea are shit.
They are, aren't they? Terrible. Man City 1, Arsenal 0, Notts County 3, West Ham United 0.
Hey, I tell you what. Great Christmas.
Exciting up-and-coming young manager they've got at Notts County, isn't there?
And Oldham recovered from their pasting by Man United, that 6-3 game, by beating Forest 2-1. It's 1-1 between QPR and Sheffield Wednesday. That's good, actually, because that keeps them nicely at arm's length. And then we've got Sheffield United 1, Palace 1, Spurs 3, Norwich 0, Wimbledon 1, Coventry 1, and then we played on the Sunday against these lot. Leaves bottom of the league. Southampton now. Bottom of the league. Can you believe that they got a bloody 3-3 draw?
It's really annoying, isn't it?
So they're bottom 22 played with 19 points. West Ham with 20 points. Then you've got Luton on 21 and Sheffield United also on 21. A bit of a gap opening up to Notts County there on 25. As for the top of the table, in fifth position, you've got Villa, 22 played, 36 points. Man City, 23 played, 39. Wednesday, 22 played, 39. And we have played 23 with 46 points. So we've maintained the 2 points per game thing, but it's not quite enough to dislodge these lot at the top who have only played 21. So we've got two games to play on us, haven't they? Two in hand, but 2 points still in front and that superior goal difference. How do you feel?
Could have been worse, I suppose.
We're as good as them. We just got to prove it in the rest of the season, starting with, we got West Ham next, who are just above Southampton at the bottom. So that should be an easy win on New Year's Day. Crack on through the other cup ties against these couple of moral victories and get on with winning the league.
Yeah, and you look down the fixtures, there are some really winnable games coming up. You know, Notts County, Oldham, not too far off Luton. So let's hang in there. It'll be all right, Michael. Don't be too despondent just yet. You okay?
I reckon by the time we play Sheffield Wednesday, they'll probably go above us.
Well, the other thing to note about Scum is we may not have been able to beat them in this game, but they couldn't beat us either. And they didn't really look like a team that was going to steamroller us. So the difference between us is not as great as the budgets and the amount of money that Scum manager of theirs has spent. That's all he's really doing. It's just a checkbook manager, really, isn't he? And
love it.
Whereas we've actually put together a team with a smaller checkbook because there's not many coming through the ranks in there. Although, you know, Gary Kelly on the bench. I suppose John Newsom, who is also around the squad, kind of a child of Wilkinson at Wednesday, isn't he? Essentially, the moral victory is already ours. We've just got to get the actual victory.
And that's it for 1991 then. We close out the year with a draw against these lot. They're going to feature pretty heavily, I think, in 1992, which is along in just a few days. And of course, we've got the Euros as well, the European tournament, the championships. Eight teams getting together in Scandinavia for that one.
Eight, as many as eight.
Eight,
wow.
Don't know how they're going to fit all those games in.
Not to mention the Barcelona Olympics. That should be fun. Going to be watching those.
Linford Christie. Is he going to be... he's fast, isn't he?
I think Sally Gunn was in for a medal or two as well.
Liz McColgan as well.
the old javelin, Roger Black, won't be competing in that because he's not a javelin thrower.
He is, isn't he?
Is he?
No, Roger Black's a 400 metre runner, sorry.
Yeah,
you're thinking of...
the other guy who looks a bit like him.
Steve Backley?
That's the one, yeah. Roger Black, Steve Backley, similar names, similar faces. They're all great athletes.
What's your advice for the Olympians, Michael?
Run. Well, it depends. It depends which sport.
If you're telling the boxers to run really fast, your coaching might be called into question.
Shooting,
yeah.
Run
Steve
really
Backley,
fast.
Really, really chuck it.
Yeah,
really put your back into it. Mm-hmm. Is what I'd say. And for Linford, get your head up and run as fast as you can.
Thanks, Michael.
All the running events are similar.
Yeah,
you need to run as fast as you can.
Is that true though? Because if you go for some of the longer distances, if you run as fast as you can at the start,
still running as fast as you can,
you'll find that you might be tired at the end.
You're running as fast as you can for whatever distance.
You need to take into account as well that some of the running events, they put fences across.
Yeah, tricky.
And some of them, they put you on a horse. So there's all kinds of different things you've got to take into account. But I'm sure Chris Akabusi will be bringing home the medals for us.
Great. Oh, lots to look forward to in 1992.
Should we do it? Should we do some live coverage of the 1992 Olympics?
We should talk about it and then not do it.
Okay.
That sounds like a good idea. Yeah, we'll be back in the new year then. Enjoy the remainder of Christmas. And and Happy New Year. We'll speak to you soon. The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.